not secure enough for use. The Federal Communications Commission, run by that, well, I'm not going to say that word on the air, but run by Brendan Carr, let's put it that way, added all consumer grade routers made outside the U.S. Are forbidden now. Wow. Routers, which are widely used in homes and businesses to connect computers, phones, TVs, and other devices to the internet, are basically now on a par with foreign-made drones, which were banned at the end of last year. I guess your router could maybe turn into a drone and attack you. You don't know. Who knows what these people are doing? Malicious actors have exploited security gaps in foreign-made routers to attack American households, disrupt networks, enable espionage, and facilitate intellectual property theft, said the FCC. While people will still be able to use foreign-made routers that they already own, in case anybody was panicking about that, the ban applies to all new device models. It stems from growing concern over the last year that routers were a point of easy access for malicious actors. Look, I don't want to get too patriotic here, but I believe that any router built in the United States is just as capable of being compromised as something from a different country, all right? We can design things that will be accessed by all sorts of malicious actors. We don't need to buy foreign for that. So I don't know what's being proven here. I really
USA,
don't.
USA. USA.
Don't do that. Don't do that. God, I hate that chant. I hate that chant so much.
I think this begs the question, what about all of the current routers? Because I as a broadband consumer, just like anybody else, in a lot of households, these things are sitting there for a really long time. This isn't something that you generally want to pay for. I mean, sometimes they lease them to people. There's different schemes depending on your provider. But in my mind, it's the kind of thing that, you know, if this is such a big threat, what on earth is being done now for all of the devices that are deployed?
Yeah.
I could go on and on, but I'll just leave it at that.
Foreign router in your house right now? Is it watching you? Is it attacking you? Okay, everybody.
Just because you can, they're letting us. Oh, goodness. I don't feel better.
I'm looking at all of you now. Point to a router. Can you do it? Okay, good, good. All right. Alex, what's wrong with you? You don't have a router?
Well, I'm in a hotel room.
You're in a foreign country. This is where the problem is, the foreign routers. And you could actually attack one of them before they get to us.
I could technically. I'm in the Republic of China, right?
And you claim you don't know where the router is.
I have no idea where the router is in this hotel, but I've been looking for it for days.
Mm-hmm,
you know, just to say hello.
Very convenient.
But, yeah.
All right, Rob, what do we got?
What's clear is that you know, even American electronics companies manufacture their equipment overseas. The vast majority of them do. One notable exception to this, one company that's manufacturing their routers in the United States is Starlink, owned by SpaceX, owned by Elon Musk. So, yeah. They're fantastic products. Maybe the only things we're allowed to get hold of anymore.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Well, of course, they say that Starlink routers are made in Texas. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess perhaps, but where does this end naturally? Right. I mean, we're talking about routers. I mean, routers are important. It's important to update your router. You know, people have, you know, routers that have firmware on them that hasn't been updated since, you know, 2005 that they're still using in most cases. Rob, as I think you had indicated, most people's routers in their homes are generally given by whoever they're given to them by their broadband provider, right? So, you know, whether it's Spectrum or Blue Ridge Cable or whoever it is, right? So where are those routers manufactured? Those probably are not manufactured in the United States. I would imagine this will affect them, but all the routers, to Kyle's point, that are still in people's homes are not going to be recalled. I mean, and these are very likely routers that have very old firmware that hasn't been patched. So this whole national security framing of the issue, to my mind, is really kind of crazy, right? Because if the routers are trustworthy, if they're untrustworthy, then what's the evidence of this, right? Like, other than what we've already known.
My router has an account name and a password. Yeah, they're both the same, I know, but, you know, good luck guessing it.
Well, yeah. I think that this is an excellent point that the thing you're given isn't necessarily something you're updating and taking care of, and that these things, I think my reaction is that a lot of them are managed and updated, if they do any of that at all, but mostly by the carrier, and they're aware of their supply chain. They're aware of where they're made, possibly other countries like Malaysia or wherever. You know, there's a lot of other places that things are assembled for exactly these reasons, and not just routers. I do think it is a valid problem, and it is funny that, you know, Texas is the American entity, although there's a lot of a long history of semiconductors and electronics there. So I guess it's not surprising, and they're going to use their own in-house supply chains for that particular product. So, yeah, we should have more, and we should be aware of this stuff. But I'm so behind Alex's point about where the stuff is made, essentially, and giving us more information about, like, disclosing what the actual vulnerability is, because that's a huge gap in this, like. We don't get actual concrete information about what exact routers. I mean, okay, I just said, yeah, a lot of the carriers probably manage this and have a well thought out device that they're giving people. But what percentage of this are these routers that people buy off the shelf independently of a carrier, kind of like an unlocked phone? We need more information about what the actual vulnerabilities are. And I think this is something that is criminal. Like, we gotta have more info about this stuff. This whole, like, coy, cagey vagueness, or like, just, oh, let's all follow this edict from the FCC. That's not enough. Like, I get that they want to distance themselves from details and maybe obfuscate a little bit about the actual incidences that we're asking for as evidence, because we really want to know. Like, okay, name and not shame necessarily, but name the manufacturers. Where are the problems? How are these things? Which ones are being exploited? What controllers? What hardware is at effect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's easier to say just all the foreign routers are the problem.
Totally.
You know? I mean, we tested it out on the people. Now we're testing it out on the routers.
Well, I mean, without evidence, as Alex said, there's the case. We're only left to our imaginations about, like, what the motive is.
Evidence takes so much time, and we just don't have the patience. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to belabor the point, but they should have this technical evidence, and it should be published, or there should be some kind of independent audit, and it would be very easy for them to set some kind of security baseline for all vendors, foreign or domestic, that are manufacturing communications equipment that are used in Americans' homes across the United States, and those are baselines that everybody should meet. Just because something is American doesn't mean it's any less vulnerable than a Chinese router or a South Korean router or an ASUS or a TP-Link or something like that. And also, if they're concerned about this, maybe we should be making sure that the communications providers push out automatic firmware updates across these routers. That's something that would solve a lot of these things being compromised, because these routers are devices that have historically been compromised and then co-opted by massive botnets, like we were just talking about earlier in the show. Go ahead, Kyle.
Absolutely. I just add that, yeah, make the product capable enough to be maintained for longer periods as they do sit in people's homes, and take responsibility, because leaving it to the consumer, you're giving them this device and going for the lowest kind of design quality that isn't really well maintainable in the field, then yeah, you're setting us up for failure, and then leaving citizens and people that are depending on your service totally vulnerable, and that's not fair. You're setting people up, in my view.
Yeah, and taking a broader view at this, what's scary about this, what should be scary for our listeners, is this whole idea that the government can decide, without publishing evidence or any kind of independent audits, about what types of boxes and electronics you're allowed to plug into your own damn wall. Well, what's to stop them from deciding next step foreign IP-enabled IoT devices like a refrigerator is not allowed in your particular home or apartment or something like that. Those can be compromised just as easily as a router and turned into some kind of packet-sniffing device, depending upon how they're configured, the hardware and the software.
Yeah, I just and I would just add that, like, I think it's not really about that our systems are necessarily better that we're preferring it, but if we're going to say they are, let's like come up with a criteria that we agree on and then like stick to it. We should know that like yeah, these have met certain criteria that people can count on, just like any other consumer product.
All right, moving on. We have some listener mail, and you can write to us and become listener mail yourself by simply emailing oth@2600.com, oth@2600.com. On the March 18th edition of Off the Hook, you were talking about returning to the good old days of interoperability, being able to read and post to the social media site of your choice and have it cross-post to everywhere else, complete with working replies. Hear, hear. The reason we lost interoperability is that Section 1201 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act makes it a felony to tamper with a digital lock, punishable by a 5-year prison sentence and a $500,000 fine. Most of the social media sites sit behind those locks. This is a big part of Cory Doctorow's outstanding 2025 book, whose title I can't say on the air, but I'll just call it Encrapification, Why Everything Suddenly Got Worse and What to Do About It. The minute we get more reasonable representatives in Congress, we need to join with the EFF to start lobbying hard to repeal the DMCA, especially Part 1201, and not give up until we can all start making interoperability work again. Think of it as right to repair for software. That's a big way to chip away at the oligarchy. Great show. Good to hear your voices. Keep up the good work. Much love to you all. Thank you very much for that wonderful letter. You know, speaking of not being able to say a title on the air, anybody catch SNL UK, the UK edition of the Saturday Night Live that debuted this past Saturday?
They
can use cuss words there. I mean, you know, it took them 51 years to rip us off. You know, we ripped them off a lot quicker. but they instantly said, yeah, you know, we're not going to have these regulations. And it worked. It really works when you're not... muzzled so much.
Yeah, the broadcast rules in the UK, as I understand it, are basically it depends on what time you're on. If it's late in the evening, the kids are in bed, you can speak like a grown-up to other grown-ups. And so you don't get in trouble for the sorts of dirty words that get stations like WBAI in trouble sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And here in this country, we are being told to watch what we say, to be more patriotic, thanks to Brendan Carr over at the FCC. It's not being met well. It's not being met very well at all. And the fight will continue. Here's another letter. Well, you people have announced that you're going to announce something. I just wanted to announce to you upon your announcement. I'm here and ready to help you both spread the announcement and be part of whatever you announce. Good luck, folks. Signed, Old Guy. You know, I know who that is. I'm not going to say the name because he didn't say the name or she didn't say the name. It says Guy, though. But this probably has something to do with our Hope News, which I, as I said, that's at 8 o'clock on Overtime on YouTube channel 2600. But thank you for the support and look forward to hanging out and doing all kinds of fun things. Here's a letter from Maine. I've been a longtime listener and subscriber, and I'm writing because I've noticed the recent feedback regarding the show's heavy focus on politics. I'd like to offer a middle ground, topics that align with current events, but remain firmly rooted in the hacker world. We live in heavy times, and for years, Off the Hook has been my one-hour escape while mowing the lawn or commuting. I've never listened to anything while mowing the lawn, but that must be... How do you hear people screaming, you know, if you're going somewhere you're not supposed to go? I don't know. I'm very cautious with headphones. Recently, it feels less like an escape and more like an extension of the daily grind. I'd love to see a return to the technical roots that make the show unique. I'm politically neutral. You know what? I challenge that statement. I doubt you're politically neutral. Because to be politically neutral in this day and age means you're not paying any attention. You don't know what's going on, and you don't care. I have a feeling you care. You just and I get this. You don't want it to become a part of everything. You don't want political issues to come up in every conversation. And You know, I don't think we do that. We try not to do that, but let's continue. I simply want to hear about hacking, cybersecurity, and the how-to of tech. Here are a few topics that could bridge that gap. All right, let's listen. Anti-surveillance. Using high-output infrared LEDs or CV dazzle clothing to confuse facial recognition. Well, slight problem there. The government really likes surveillance. They really want that to work. They really want to know what you're doing. And by pushing anti-surveillance, you're kind of taking a political stand against them that they're not going to appreciate. I'm not saying I'm against this. I'm all for it. I'm just letting you know that you might get some pushback from some very powerful people and entities. Next point, off-grid comms, a deep dive into LoRa and Meshtastic for encrypted decentralized communication. Ooh, getting off the grid. That could be seen as anti-patriotic, anti-government as well. Not saying that's the case here, but when you start experimenting with different kinds of technology, let's look at blue boxes and red boxes of the past. You know, we try to explain to the authorities, it's not just for making fraudulent phone calls. There's all kinds of other uses and also the joy of simply building it. They never got it. They never got that. And a lot of people never got that as well. They said, of course, why else would you want to build something like that? Unless you were up to something. You know, if you've got nothing to hide, then you should have no problem being out in the clear. We get this all the time. Problem with that as well. Operational security. Practical mobile security, like managing SD cards or encrypted volumes when crossing borders. Oh, okay. Who wants to take this one? Crossing borders, hiding data, not giving up everything to border control. They want your laptop. They want your passwords. They want your social media access. And if you're not going to give that to them, you become an enemy of the state. You know, you become a threat. And there aren't very many enemies of the state that are considered apolitical. The thing is, I'm into all these things. I really am. Hardware projects, using the ESP32 for Wi-Fi source monitoring, steganography techniques, or DIY GPS units. Okay, so we're talking about hiding messages in images. You know, that's like James Bond stuff there. No, I'm all for it. I'm into it, but it can be seen as a threat, can be seen as something very dangerous to the status quo. Continuing with the letter, and I'm sorry for nitpicking every single one of your points. You can still give people hope and address the state of the world by teaching us how to build the tools to navigate it. I'd much rather hear about the latest in Wi-Fi security than the latest headlines. Hope you all have a great day. Name withheld upon request. And I agree. I agree with everything said here. You know, when we talk about issues, I think we always relate it to something in the hacker world or in the technological world. It may not always be as apparent as we'd like it to be. We might also get into debates every now and then. You have to defend yourself sometimes when somebody says something, you know, outrageous, which happens occasionally. But for the most part, we keep that link to technology. There's always a link to technology because technology in itself is political. You know, access, how much data you're able to hold on to yourself, privacy, encryption, all of that. It's you know, something we're passionate about. But there are people, there are entities that are against it because they want more control. And then there are people who say, if we talk about that, that's too political. So it's a question of degree. You know, how much politicization are you willing to endure? And we try to make it as minimal as possible. But your points are heard and valued. So thank you for writing. Rob.
Yeah, I am entertained by the irony of the final line in this person's email. I'd much rather hear about the latest in Wi-Fi security than the latest headlines. And of course, we were talking earlier in the show about a major headline story that's directly about Wi-Fi security. But I can see where they're coming from. And at the other, you know, on the other hand, I am also going to push back on anyone claiming to be politically neutral. No one is politically neutral. Being politically neutral, I think right now means I'm not going to make trouble because I'm okay with how things are. and I can't classify myself as that.
I think also at this point, political neutrality is almost willful ignorance. Not almost, it is. It is willful ignorance. And it's hard to really talk about anything at all without relating it both to the hacker world, the hacker mindset, technology, and the world we're living in right now. Like, no, sorry, words are gone, but political neutrality is willful ignorance right now. And we would be remiss, I think, to have this radio hour and be willfully ignorant out loud for an hour.
Yeah, I hear you. We're not calling anybody ignorant. We're not, you know, saying that this is something that people aspire to. I think it's something we all want. We all want to be not having to think about what's going on all the time, because it's so depressing. It's so outrageous. But, you know, if we go down that road and we don't react and we don't have an opinion, it's kind of what they want. They want you not to be any trouble whatsoever. So we're here to be a cog in the wheel, you know? We're here to make trouble, good trouble. Alex?
Yeah, the things that we're talking about, I think we always have some kind of link in some way or another to the tech focus or the tech aspect of this. I mean, this is a show that's been on the air for so many years now, and it bills itself as talking about the societal ramifications of technology. And you can't talk about those societal ramifications without talking about the political sphere. And if you think about the political sphere itself, these are systems that are exploited. These are systems that have loopholes. These are systems that are abused, just like technical systems. And we have to talk about those particular vulnerabilities as well. These types of systems are really just code, but they're for human beings, and they're affecting human beings. And just like any other kind of vulnerability that we find or any kind of abuse, we should shout about it. And I think we don't, you know, we're not talking about, you know, amendments to the civil procedure and things like that, you know, that things that have no rational relationship whatsoever to technology. Everything's got it, but it's very difficult to divorce those issues. And you know, I've oftentimes agreed with the people that write in and criticize us, and I appreciate the time and effort that they take to criticize us, and I think they're right to do it sometimes, but there's always these implications, and I would challenge our listeners as well to take a wider view of these particular issues while they're asking us to constrain our views at the same time.
Kyle.
We're really thoughtful about all of this, so I take the listener's point, and I'm so thankful for their what we are to them, and that for their listenership, that they've been around. And we want to talk about all those things too. Like, we're excited. And for us, a lot of this is an escape from the day to day. And we're happy to hear it is for you as well. And we do our part. It also is something that we're typically trying to keep a lot of what we're saying approachable. So when we get chided, I think, for being not being, you know, wildly technical, sometimes that can make it so it isn't as approachable to people. And we're here on a wonderful radio station that has so many different people, and their level of understanding of technology probably is wide ranging. So we like to keep a careful balance in the topic of conversation. But all of that said, I think that we do our best with the time we have. And I think the urgency, if there wasn't such an urgency, I think we would be more focused on escaping, or maybe projects and things that didn't seem to have as much consequence. But I think because of that, we feel a little bit of a responsibility owe it to the dynamic of this medium, that it is just a conversation. And it goes in so many different directions all the time. And we like to draw connections. We like to make it approachable, draw those connections, and keep it moving, keep the conversation something that is integral, exciting, relevant to people's daily lives, but also interesting and can be applied. And I think in the point that the writer is making here, my counterpoise, the way I would come at that is just to say, it's, you're missing, and I think your reading of it was making this point, but you're wanting us to talk about things to prepare you for Hellscape, when what we're talking about is ways to avoid arriving at a world that is that very Hellscape.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that for decades before now. We kind of warn people about societies like the one that's forming around us, how technology can be used and abused. You know, same thing in 2600, same thing at Hope. Basically, same thing throughout the hacker world. People have been warning about the very things that we're seeing now. You know, there was a story. I don't know why this story was so popular, but the stupid dancing robot that went out of control and started smashing dishes in California somewhere. Yeah, why was that on every channel? Of course that's going to happen. If you have a robot in a restaurant and you expect it to not go crazy at some point, you're woefully misled. It's inevitable. It really is. What are you pointing at, Gila?
I'm trying to get Rob to the right tab.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't know what that was. We have this final letter here from Kirk over in the UK, and who says this may be noteworthy for listeners. I backed this this project on Kickstarter a long time ago. We're talking about the Joy Bubbles movie, which is premiering on May 2nd at the Bartos Screening Room at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria. That's in Queens. And basically, it's a 79-minute documentary about Joe Ingrassia, known as Joy Bubbles. He discovered that at a very young age, by whistling a specific tone into the telephone, he could manipulate the entire system. He was born blind in 1949, and Joe legally changed his name to Joy Bubbles in 1991. He was a whiz kid with an IQ of 172. Rejected the idea of adulthood, preferred to think of himself as an eternal five-year-old. I'm sure this will be a fascinating film for phone freaks and pretty much anyone who is interested in the technology, and also this person who is a very interesting human being. So again, that's happening May 2nd at the Saturday at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria. Rob.
Yeah, I was also a Kickstarter backer of this documentary, and I am so excited to see this. It's been a very long time in the making, but Joy Bubbles was a fascinating figure in hacker and freak history and technical history, and just as a person, just as himself, is a fascinating person to look into. I had the pleasure of speaking with him only once on a conference call many, many years ago that someone had looped him into, and he was just very, very nice. And I look forward to learning more about him in the, through this movie.
All right. Maybe we'll all see that film then. We are out of time. Again, please write to us, oth@2600.com. We're going to continue the conversation over on YouTube at 8 o'clock. And you can get the address there. Well, the address is channel 2600 on YouTube, or just go to the link on top of 2600.com webpage. We will see you here on WBAI next week. Oh, and by the way, next week will be a call-in show for WBAI. So mark that on your calendars. Hope is like a lighthouse keeper's beam. Hope, the master cobbler of our dreams. Oh, 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 believes in desert streams, the mightiest of stars, the microcosm in a jar, vast or small, they all revolve on hope. Gift of guidance from above, and hope is the heart in mother's love. No plans could be conceived, no ships could bear the seas, but there would be no courage were it not for
our minds to give hope is to enlighten all mankind. All but lose hope, and life seems black as night. If one abandons hope. Thank you.
fährst mit deinem Auto, ha? Und du bist mit deinem Fahrrad und deinem Telefon hier unterwegs und du kannst das Radio hören, ja?
Ich will alle Leute aufrufen, zu hören nach Patapult, wenn immer das kann. Und vor allem jetzt und auch wenn Stupitz schon wieder weg ist, wenn das Programm Action anfängt, dann wird es immer noch sehr schön sein.
Okay.
Und hören bleiben und Radfahren oder Autofahren oder vielleicht zu Hause hinter dem Computer oder
dann könnt ihr natürlich auch als liebe Zuhörer, die ihr auch da seid, vielleicht heute zu einer Benefizveranstaltung für die Stubnitz in Amsterdam im Weltweg kommen. Das fängt ca. 23.30 Uhr an. Das wird sozusagen ein bisschen die Klingelkasse läuten lassen, hoffentlich. Aber ansonsten gibt es morgen auch nochmal auf der Stubnitz eine dicke fette süße kleine Party, sofern sie zugelassen werden in der Stadt. Dankeschön. Der Politik, ja. Hey, du bist auch zufällig heute. Ah ne, wir hören uns später nochmal. Action.
Okay, Action.
Action.
Okay, tschüss.
Tschüss. Bis später.
Tschüss.
Ah, immer diese Telefonstalker. Ach ja. Das ist Radio Patapoe, 88.3 FM, hier nur in Amsterdam zu empfangen. Ansonsten über Internet, das heißt freeteam.nl/patapoe. Und darüber findet ihr auch den Link, wie ihr uns dann auch 24 Stunden lang hören könnt. Wir sind die Stubnitz-Members im Exil. Sozusagen der Stargast MT. Gepaart von DP DJ iPod Staffel. Okay, wir machen mal weiter. Die Stubnitz Party geht nachher als Benefiz hier im Melkweg ab. Und ich hoffe doch, dass ihr alle vorbeikommt, um der ganzen Sache ein kleines bisschen Unterstützung zu leisten. Ich mache hier mal weiter im Radioprogramm. Ich glaube, das ganze Gelaber stört ein bisschen. Tschüss. Ui.
country.
Now, option legalized. Rainbows over there.
Naive ideas about teaching their children how to save sex and smoke grass and the top is all the criminals and drug addicts throughout Europe have gone and exploited that in an answer. It's absolutely run out of control, completely run amok. It's not going to work here.
Why didn't we all became qualified members after this war? What's now historically the first era, which was the liberal.
Not to be. That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the swings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against them.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Die Dinge entwickelten sich so, wie sie geschehen. Ja, und dann ist irgendwann Schluss oder es geht weiter.
Er hat mal 4 LSD auf einmal genommen. Seitdem ist er verändert, glaube ich. Wir hatten damals auch LSD genommen. Aber er hat natürlich 4 auf einmal genommen. Man darf nur 1 nehmen. Und er war noch 3 Tage danach, war er noch im LSD-Rausch. Seine Mutter war da zufällig da bei mir zu Besuch. Und hatte so eine Grütze gemacht, wissen Sie, so Schweinegrütze, wie das heißt. So eine Art Pudding aus Schweine, aus Pik und so weiter.
Siehst du, Zürich?
Der einen Tag lang das Ding an. Der kam überhaupt nicht mehr von weg.
Wie gelernt?
Das war die Idee von, okay, siehst du, Zürich? Und Kulturforschung?
Alles war scheiße, Schweine, Arschloch.
Das war die Idee von, also, okay. In das ganze Idee von, okay, Assis in Zürich und Kulturforschung, wollen wir jetzt einfach mal einfach nur Nutten angucken, aber da kann man richtig etwas Kulturelles und vielleicht dass man sein Intellekt ein bisschen wachsen kann.
Ja.
だけど我慢だよ。会場の新芽は先端にしかないんだよ。
我慢できないよ。僕この幅でいいや。
そんなこと言うもんじゃないぞ。
はい。
とーとーつくぞ。会場の新芽は目の前だ。
Can't wait to
Austria Unif Green Tea.
Ach ja. Meine Damen und Herren, es ergibt sich, dass es mir eine Ehre ist, hier auf dieser Frequenz in Amsterdam Radio hörend Ihnen das Stubnitz-Radio präsentieren zu können. Okay, Sie wissen vielleicht, dass es alles eine kleines bisschen unangenehme Situation ist für die Leute, die auf der Stubnitz sind, von der Politik der niederländischen Seite. Kleines bisschen eingeengt und seinen ausführenden Tätigkeiten dekaputiert. Möchte ich nur darauf hinweisen, dass das hier Radio Patapoe ist aus Amsterdam und Stubnitz auch in der Stadt ist.
Change your soul is what you make it, that is.
could never make you love it. I could never change your soul. It's what you make it. That is everywhere you go. I could never make you love it. I could never change your soul. It's what you make it. That is everywhere you go. I could never make you love it. I could never change.
Mann, kann ich mich mal einen Moment setzen?
Aber sicher.
Sie sind nicht von hier, oder?
Nee, aus Wuppertal.
Aus dem Westen?
Wir kommen aus dem Osten. Stubnitz Radio, hier live von Amsterdam. Tut mir leid, dass wir euch das antun müssen jetzt hier, aber eine halbe Stunde haben wir noch zu spielen und die Aufnahme ist noch ca. 35 Minuten lang. Somit tut mir leid, das ist hier Patapo Radio 88.3. Stubnitz Memme im Exil, aber Stubnitz ist natürlich gerade in der Stadt, aber die wird irgendwie nicht reingelassen. Die verdammte Politik hier. Naja, wird schon. Hoffentlich irgendwie. Thank you.
head.